One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Gamescoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Sam Claiborne.
Scoop.
And we're joined by a very special guest this week. Terry from our LA office is joining us.
Scoop.
Welcome, Terry.
Thank you so much for having me.
Introduce your gaming self. What's your favorite game of all time?
Ooh, Paper Mario.
Wow.
The original? Yeah, the original. I really like RPGs. My top three are Paper Mario, Golden Sun, and Final Fantasy IX. I played Paper Mario over and over and over again. It charmed my little socks off. And
is Golden Sun a GBA game?
It is a GBA game.
But that's not Boktai. Boktai is the one that used
the sun, right?
That's the sun. Okay,
Golden Sun was super fun. I didn't love the third one that they put out. I was like, the second one went even deeper. Sorry, I'm derailing this whole conversation.
I didn't know there was a third one.
I didn't know that
either. There is, but it was, Scoop, many years later. But it was a little, maybe I just got older, but it felt a little bit too juvenile for what I was hoping for. But yeah.
And then Terry leads up a lot of our entertainment coverage out of our LA office, movies, TV coverage, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
She is Game of Thrones.
I am.
You just interviewed everybody.
The entire, it was really cool. Yeah.
That was a crazy series of casting.
My favorite interview I did wasn't an interview I did. I had Nikolai Coster-Waldau and Gwendolyn Christie interview each other. Yeah. They're Jamie and Brienne, and they were they're the cutest in general.
They laugh have the best the whole chemistry. Thing and have the best smiles.
And they love each other. And
gotta
And I was like, when I got them together, I told them, I was like, I just love watching you two be adorable. So I was going to spin this back on you. And Gwendolyn was like, yes, I want to do this. I want to play this game.
And those are your handwritten questions they read?
Yeah, that's why.
Like with your handwriting?
Yeah, there's one.
Because they talk about being hard to read.
Yeah, I know. I was like, it's me. Everyone thinks that he just can't read, but it's actually I bad handwriting.
I don't think that's true. But
and if you tune into our Comic-Con coverage this week, you'll be seeing a lot of Terry on our live show. A lot of me as well.
So. Okay. If we make it through that week.
Yeah. It's a whole comic convention?
A comic book convention.
About San Diego. That'll be nice.
Yeah.
Comic book convention, you say. You're going too, right?
Yeah. I'm going to get some tacos.
I'm on home team.
We got...
Everyone keeps talking about what we're going to do beyond the show. And I was like, there's nothing beyond the show. What is this free time that you speak of?
San Diego's one of my favorite food cities, for sure.
There are great tacos down there.
Anyway, we've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about the Atari Box. We're going to talk about the PlayStation Vita. Mm. But first, Kingdom Hearts 3. Is it really coming 2018? It was revealed over the weekend, 2018.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have to do that.
They didn't have
to do that. That's the thing where, I'm very skeptical. But they could have just not said that. So then now I'm like, okay, if they're going to commit to the date, then probably.
They didn't give an actual date. Well, yeah. I think we have it narrowed down release window, but I think that they know.
Wait, is the window a year?
Yeah,
it's coming out in 2018.
It's not a window.
It's a period of time. I think that they know that fans have been waiting for this game so long.
13 years.
To say 2018, you have to do 2018, mm-hmm. but we've seen delays before.
December 31st.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I think that they need to have it come out then, but at the same time, if they're like, we're going to delay it to make a better game, mm-hmm. I think people will probably forgive that.
Yeah. I think it's really funny that for almost as long as I've been in this business professionally, it was like our console is going to be capable of Toy Story level graphics. I remember that being the PlayStation 2.
Totally.
It'll be like, it'll be Toy Story style, but in the game, and it'll be happening in real time. And then it never was. They're always blurry, and it didn't match it. And now in Toy Story 3, I saw a side-by-side picture that was, this is from the movie. Excuse me, yes. Yeah. This is from the movie Toy Story, and this is from Kingdom Hearts 3, and we're finally there.
It's
2017.
We did it, everybody. It looks that close, really?
Yeah, it's exactly 1-1.
It's so interesting. So I was at D23 this past weekend, which is where they made this announcement and the reveal, and I actually had a chance to talk to Tetsuya Nomura, which was crazy. Big deal.
He's the director producer now?
Yes, yeah. And it was through a translator, which I've never really done an interview that way before. It was sort of
awesome.
Like, yeah, it's really interesting.
You get more time to think about your questions.
It's a nice way to fill the time.
I know. Totally. They're like, you have an hour. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. Well, it's really only 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But I asked him, like, what are you most excited for Kingdom Hearts 3? And he did say it was like the new capabilities they have through these next gen consoles that they can fulfill on those promises that they were making before. And one of the big changes that they actually can do is Sora now can have 4 party members, ooh, which you see in the trailer as well. And he's like, again, it's because there are these technological advancements that allow us to actually do this and have it look good and work.
Speaking of Toy Story, that was the new world that was announced over the weekend. Terry, are you a Kingdom Hearts fan?
I am. So Jonathan Dornbush is like our biggest Kingdom Hearts fan. Yeah. I played this first and second games. Every time a side game was announced, I just got more and more annoyed because I was like, it's not Kingdom Hearts 3. And now I'm like, okay, well, I have to go back and play 2.8 or whatever to prep for this.
358 divided by 2 days. Yeah. I don't even know how they're supposed to be pronounced.
Birth by sleep by birth. Yeah.
So how is Kingdom Hearts 3 sitting with you?
I think it looks great. It's weird to me that the first game was Disney meets, you know, Square Enix titles, mm-hmm. right? But now, since the first Kingdom Hearts came out, Disney has acquired so many more IPs that you have Marvel, you have Lucasfilm, you have Pixar, which we see. It's a big deal that there's a Pixar world in there. And I'm wondering how many other surprises there are. But it's just like weird to me to think, oh, we might get a Star Wars world. Like we might see Iron Man in a Kingdom Hearts game. And that, I don't know.
It's Fantastic
something,
Four.
There's something a little bit like, huh. But I am excited to play it too. I have a feeling that it all will fit seamlessly. We've put so much focus on the new worlds that we're going to see that I'm like, how does this tie back to Sora's story? Mm. How does this tie back to a very plot-driven game? And that's what I'm excited to see as we lead up to 2018 window.
Yeah,
you have to imagine that since Disney owns, as you said, you know, Marvel and Star Wars, mm-hmm. And that's all happened since Kingdom Hearts was announced, that the architects of the Kingdom Hearts franchise have to sort of manage in the back of their head, they have to be thinking, maybe we save Star Wars for Kingdom Hearts 4, right? Like, how are they going to make a big splash?
17 years from now.
Yeah, no kidding. In 2027.
Yeah, I mean, it was already weird enough just seeing like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck in this JRPG world. But now trying to think about like Han Solo in there or Princess Leia or something. It's
so Pixar is not that far removed from Disney at this point, though, right?
Because
Disneyland is filled with Pixar stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't at one point. They were like a little bit further apart. So now, I don't know. That feels more like Disney to me. It makes more sense. Like Tron feels weirdly out of place when there's that Tron world, but that's a Disney thing too.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll have
Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, Disney.
That's been in it too.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that, you know, I feel like the earlier games leaned so much into the very established Disney locations that we know, like, you know, from Aladdin to the Hercules world and beyond. And now, like, we have Big Hero 6 and now Toy Story. And it's...
What about live-action Lion King?
Well, listen, we could have a whole other conversation about how great live-action Lion King
is. Yeah, you saw it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Scoop.
Well, you
saw parts of it.
Saw parts of it.
Okay. At D23. Okay. But I keep referencing this interview that I did with Nomura, but I asked him, like, what is going to be the balance between new and pre-existing, like, fan-favorite worlds that you are doing in Kingdom Hearts 3? And he was like, you know, we know our fans don't want to see the places that they've seen already, so they're trying to bring in a lot more worlds. So I think there will be a lot of surprises for where we end up going.
I think the game looks super fun. I'm not a fan of Kingdom Hearts. I just, you know, haven't ever gotten around to playing them. And when I watch gameplay trailers of the third one, I'm like, that looks really fast-paced and interesting, and the combat looks a lot more fun. And
Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly what Terry just said.
Technical terms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, coming 2018.
Sometime.
That gives him a long runway to bring that thing in. Now, during E3 this year, Atari announced a new console.
That Atari?
The Blade Runner Atari.
Yeah, the Blade Runner Atari. I love that shot so much with the two Atari logos.
So funny.
Yeah.
Freaking cool.
So they didn't announce anything else other than it's a thing and it's coming. And then today, or over the weekend, they released some images of it and some details. We still don't know like what we're going to be playing on this thing, but apparently it's a real thing. It's called the Atari Box. It's a console that features modern internal specs, but also has the ability to include classic games, NES classic style. But it also says they're going to be delivering current gaming content. HDMI output, 4 USB inputs, and an SD card slot.
And they're kickstarting it, right? Or maybe not they're crowdfunding it, I should say.
That hasn't been officially announced, but that's the rumor. They're leading up to like announcing a Kickstarter campaign.
Oh, they've gotten so far along without, there's a design and a system out. Like, I can't believe it hasn't, started the campaign yet.
The thing that confuses me, Sam, maybe you can answer, or maybe we don't know, but, the Atari Wikipedia page is crazy because that company split into, there's one company that owns the name Atari, but a separate company owns the old Atari games. And I think there's even a third one that's like sort of the hardware arm. And I'm a little bit confused about who it is that's putting this actual console.
Yeah, it is very confusing. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
it's the owners of the name, for sure.
Okay.
That's still related to Infogrames.
I was going
to
say, is that the case? Because that's where some of that stuff ended up.
They're like an aggressively acquisition-based company in like the late 90s, whenever that
happened. Aren't they? They're French?
Infogrames is entertainment.
Oh, so was that? That was their
was old... that their slogan?
Yeah.
So in the early 1990s, there was the Lynx, which you love.
I think the Lynx is a cool system.
And you can turn it outside to play vertical-based games, which is a neat thing. That's ahead of its time. It drained batteries instantly, so people didn't like it. And then they did the Jaguar, and the Jaguar was a high-powered system. It looked really good. There's a couple cool games for it, Tempest 2000 and Alien vs. Predator. But it has a, the console looks like appropriately extreme for the 90s. But then you look at the controller, and it's like big. It looks bigger than the Dreamcast controller, and there's nothing on it. There's like a number pad.
Are those nine buttons on it
for no reason? A D-pad and then like two, an A and B button. Like there's just nothing that justifies the amount of space that it occupies.
Yeah.
And that thing wasn't popular at all. So yeah, that was really the death knell for Atari as a hardware manufacturer. And then there's a few games that we got with a new Atari logo on them. And like that probably you caught the tail end of that covering them, but really it was the turn of the century. And then just Atari just does those plug and play consoles and like licensing and stuff like that. Like it's completely crazy that they're doing this, but it's also just another kind of ploy that probably won't work out well for
it. It's really caught me off guard that it has modern specs. When I heard Atari console, I was thinking that it was going to be like an NES box, and that's like a plug and play.
They do those all the time. Flashback Volume 1 and 2.
40 classic Atari games.
Do you think that it won't work though? Because I feel like we saw Nintendo took a similar approach with the NES. And they'll have the SNES Classic as well. It's so interesting. Like you watch those Fine Brothers videos where people play Atari games for the first time, a younger generation who have never touched it. And I think it's actually a really smart thing to be re-releasing these consoles in this way, and people can experience them for the first time, but with better technology now that might still work versus like going to your local.
What do you think about the Atari library? I think that's the issue here.
Yeah, so
there's not so much.
Well, there's so much.
Yeah,
it's just so crammed with stuff from that era, and like it's very very popcorn.
A lot of garbage. Yeah, it's like I don't think that the Atari 2600 games are nearly as fun to play today as NES.
Will they put E.T. out?
Like compared, if you just compare them real quick, like Atari ports are terrible compared to the arcade games. Their originals are really simple and sometimes interesting, but the joystick sucks to use.
Yeah.
And then the Nintendo, on the other hand, is like the arcade ports are better than the arcade games, like Contra and Bubble Bobble and stuff. Like we love those. And then there's so many originals, and then the controller is perfect. So it's like just on that most surface level, the Atari has these issues that it just makes it hard. But it's certainly fun to watch people go play those games, especially like games like E.T., because they're awkward and you need to have a manual to figure them out. And like, they're so far removed from what we expect from video games now that I think like it has this great purpose out there for entertainment. But it's not nostalgic for a lot of people as much.
Yeah.
Like especially Nintendo was just bigger than the Atari,
It's really, I mean, the games are very, very primitive. And I'm a little biased because I started with the NES. Maybe if I would have started with the Atari, I'd feel differently. But you can't really go back and play a game like Adventure. It doesn't make any sense. It's, what, three colors on screen. You don't really understand where you're going. Like, you don't need an asterisk to enjoy. I mean, some old NES games, you kind of do need an asterisk. Like, the original Metroid or some games are clunky and awkward. But, like, any of the Mario games, there's dozens and dozens of NES games that can just be enjoyed in a modern context without needing to look through it through a classic gamer's lens. And
remixes help with that. NES Remix really changed my mind about like how you can do a retro collection. And if you treat Atari games in that way with like score challenges and like mini bite size, like WarioWare like type amounts, like that would be amazing. But that could be on an Xbox, you know?
You know, the Atari was so primitive that Pac-Man's pellets are little rectangles. Like you can't, like, I don't know, man.
Can't make a circle.
I'm skeptical about this console.
Everything in the Atari was meant to play Pong. Like, there's nothing in that. Everything you've ever seen on Atari that's not Pong is a modification of Pong.
Yeah.
Like, the whole hardware is, like, two paddles, a ball, and the background is, like, what every game has to be based on.
Yeah. Now, Atari did these other gift for parents who grew up on the Atari to buy for their children who have never maybe even played Pong before.
And maybe it's, like, as a good punishment. Like, no, you can't play Destiny 2.
But you have to play.
No more PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Yeah.
Until you beat Adventure.
Yes, exactly.
Really confused about what this thing is. It's like getting into the hardware business is such a colossal undertaking.
I think it looks awesome, the console.
I mean, it's a cool design.
It has freaking wood panel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it comes in two different flavors, the wood panel one and then the red and black.
Remember how Atari did originally,
more like
too?
Atari Jaguar, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It is more like the Jaguar. But Atari had like a silver metal version and then the woody.
For which
for the 2600.
I only knew the wood,
like, different
version.
So Atari like a different I could just talk about this Atari so had different manufacturers, like Sears made some other people made them, and they all played Atari games. Like, can you imagine that now? Like,
that's what we talk about, the one console future. That's what we want to happen.
That is true. And but GameCube did that. Remember the Panasonic GameCube that
the
played
Cube.
DVDs?
Yeah.
Ours didn't, but that one did.
The wood paneling aesthetic is, you know, I mean, Sam, it was, what, 50 years old from the 70s, mostly on the station wagons and on the Atari. And actually the first house that I ever lived in with my girlfriend had wood paneling in it that we got rid of. And it's come back around that, like, that's a thing that people have an affection for now. And it makes me wonder, are we, like, 10 years away from that, like, terrible 90s aesthetic, like, being hot again? Like,
Bell bottoms for everyone again.
Just everything being extreme.
Neon came back for, you know, kind of our ironic resurgence. That was very 90s.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Rollerblades, Neon, Hyper.
Rollerblades did come back. You're right.
They didn't show the controller. We haven't seen the controller for this thing yet.
You know why?
I want to think about rollerblades more.
We don't know what it will. We don't know how we're going to be controlling these games. We don't know what games are going to play. If it has modern internal specs, does that mean it's more like the Switch? It's like there's no way it could compete with the Xbox One X.
We got questions, Atari.
Yeah. But it could be more like an Ouya, right?
Yeah, which
because we still call that a modern system with modern specs compared to a
that was like an Android-based
system.
It went so well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I look forward. I look forward to learning more about this Atari box, whatever it is. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com, just like Ethan did. And he says, "My friends at Goose Camp, Ethan from Ohio here, first time writer, long time listener. Last night I finally beat Andromeda of Mass Effect Andromeda after 100 hours of gameplay, and I loved it." Vaults aside, I thought gameplay and story were great.
Good.
I'm mainly a PC guy because I haven't bought a console yet. My fiance and I want to buy a Switch or a PS4, but I've also got a library of Steam games from the summer sale that haven't seen the light of day since I began Andromeda in April. The age-old question, what do I play next? Or do I put it off longer and finish my home theater in the basement?
Oh,
cool. Do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's kind of the
direction. And send us pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Invite us over.
Yeah. Is there going to be popcorn?
I mean, not much of a home theater without it.
Yeah, soda machine.
Yeah.
Ooh, now you're cooking with gas.
Yeah.
I would say get a Switch if you can. I know they can be difficult to find.
I would probably. I mean,
But then again, yeah.
I love my Switch. You know, a big fan of it, big proponent of it. I would say if you don't have any console at all, I think the PS4 is cheaper. Has a bigger library of games.
It's crazy.
It's easier to find.
Yeah, that's true.
All other things being equal, putting the two side by side, I think the PS4 is a better option. I mean, on Prime Day, I think you could get a PS4 bundle that had a bunch of extra games and stuff for $220.
It's like crazy.
It's cheaper than the Switch, you know, and it came with a game, and it had a, you know, and it's got dozens of other interesting.
And it's available.
Yeah, that's true.
I love my PS4. It's what I use for everything. But I'm in a similar boat where I don't have a Switch yet, and I think I'm getting one soon. And like Zelda is the game this year, so that's what I'm excited to go and play. Like I beat Horizon recently, finally after like 70 hours of doing every single side quest. But I can't wait to play Zelda. And I think if you're stuck on what do I do next, and you're interested in potentially buying another console, then the Switch is where I would go between those. And
did you get that cloaking costume?
No, I didn't, and I'm not.
Because that's one of the like more in-depth side quests.
I know, and I was like, meh.
Yeah.
I didn't start at the beginning with it. I'd have to like travel back.
It's not cloaking; it's a shield. Sorry, I don't want to spread disinformation.
No, it's like that thing to get the
hold the thing.
Like a halo shield,
weave armor or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe if I play it again.
My Switch is currently in sleep mode. I'm in the middle of a pretty good run in the middle of Trials of the Sword.
Whoa.
I did the same thing, and I'm a little worried about that, but I think sleep is infinite, right?
Like, yeah.
It will even somehow bookmark it if it powers off completely.
I don't know about that, but mine's just sleeping.
Hopefully. So.
Right. Wake it up. Just wake it up.
Why isn't your system docked?
It's in the dock.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll be fine.
It'll be fine. And you're in the middle of the middle trials?
Yeah, I'm on intermediate, like, year 10, so I think there's an 11 in intermediate.
This is all gibberish. Oh, I think it's like I'm excited to find out like when I eventually.
It's a super dungeon.
Challenge dungeon where you just fight level after level.
But you start out with nothing, and it's really
you start naked. It's really funny.
That's how I like my Link.
I mean. But Ethan says he's more of a PC guy. I don't know. If he wants to play something right now on PC, what would you recommend? Prey? That's probably the
Prey's
best
really good.
New PC game.
Destiny 2 beta.
I wouldn't recommend
Destiny 2
Prey.
Beta, yeah. I know you didn't care for it, but it's the best reviewed PC game of the last 3 months.
Is it really?
A big AAA game, I think. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I think about when I'm just picturing most games in my head, I picture them kind of, you know, just multi-platform, except for obvious stuff like Zelda that I associate with Nintendo. But we've had a lot of like console, like you can't play Persona on PC.
Yeah.
Can't play Horizon on PC, can't play Zelda on PC. So it's been a good year.
Mario Kart,
2017's been a good year for consoles.
That's a good point. Stardew Valley though.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
I just started playing Stardew Valley. It's so much fun. I got it on PS4. But yeah, if you haven't started Stardew Valley yet, half your life into it.
It's really great.
Sure.
I mean, there's no limit to Steam has thousands of great games, and including games like that you never hear anybody talk about that you can download it and play for dozens of hours.
Yeah, I have a little list of games like that, especially the retro looking ones like Owlboy. I really want to play. Mm-hmm. That looks super cool.
Owlboy was great.
Go back to that one.
Immortal Defense is a tower defense game I'd like to give a shout out to.
That's relevant to my interests.
And then Tacoma's out next month.
The next month? It's August? Yeah. All right, moving on. This is BJ Bumgarner.
Whoa.
Cool.
Pretty good name. So, high school football coach? Definitely sounds like a high school football coach to me.
Totally.
He says, "Dear Omega Cops, I recently got a Nintendo Switch, and I'm enjoying Zelda and Mario Kart. Last week, you talked about the idea of the Nintendo Switch being in early access. I can surely see some similarities, but you failed to address why you think Nintendo might have done this. Why release a console in March when traditionally they are released in the holiday season? That extra time could have given Nintendo more time to develop additional launch titles, improve the OS, and most importantly, build more consoles. I'm sure there's a method to Nintendo's madness. Just curious to hear your thoughts on their business strategy."
Maybe BJ should be on GameScoop instead of one of us.
Oh, he wants to hear why we think Nintendo, if they released it early, why they would have done that.
I mean,
it has to do with their financials.
Yeah, like the Wii U is, it's probably the least successful like big console of all time. That I don't know. I mean, now I'm wondering about
Jaguar,
it.
Jaguar, Virtual Boy.
Yeah, how does it stack Dreamcast, up to the Dreamcast and stuff like
Saturn.
That?
Saturn.
But it's down there
as
one of the least successful consoles ever. And, I really liked my Wii U, but sales-wise, you know, it never took off. Nintendo had to. I mean, they're a publicly traded company. They need money.
They knew releasing that and Zelda would provide a quick influx of cash.
Well, and Zelda, you know, again, now we're into the realm of speculation, but Zelda looked like it was finished, mostly finished. So, hey, they could hold on to that till Q4, but put it out the door with
It's a weird situation with Nintendo because they do have like this big pad of money. So they don't need money. They need shareholders to be happy.
Yeah.
They need their stock price to be okay.
Yeah.
I think that's like their big motivation.
You know, the 3DS is winding down. The Wii U is dead in the water.
I don't know if the 3DS is winding down. It's like,
well, that's
they
true.
Just released
it sort of had a second resurgence, but
2DS XL. Is that out now?
I've been playing it all weekend.
What were you playing? Pikmin?
Pikmin, yeah. And I'm allowed to talk about it. The embargo's up.
Ooh, thumbs up, thumbs down.
But we can talk about it on what you've been playing. Make these people wait.
Okay. Stay tuned for Sam's thoughts on Hey Pikmin. This is, oh, you have something to say?
Well, I also, you know, you have to imagine in Nintendo's head, hindsight's always 2020. The Switch is a huge hit. Everybody wants one. But that wasn't guaranteed to be the case. So releasing in March also gives them a little bit of breathing room versus in Q4, they don't know what their competitors are up to. Like, who knows what the big PlayStation, big Xbox, you know, how much are those two companies going to suck all the air out of the room and not leave any room for, you know, Nintendo's new thing to sort of, communicate its marketing message to everyone. So I think releasing in March absolutely turned out to be, you know, they had the month to themselves, more or less.
Yeah, for sure. All right, this is Jimmy Jackson. He says, my name is Jimmy Jackson from a little place called Hull.
J-I-M-I?
Hull, J-I-M-M-Y. Okay. Mm. Well, Hull's Hull in the more normal parts of the UK.
Yep. Cool.
I'm a huge fan of the show. Much appreciate all that you guys put into it. Easily my favorite hour or two of the week. Hour. He says, I was wondering if you could help me. I own a PS4 and play as much as I can in between work and my family life. I love JRPGs, especially, and I've done and have since the days of Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation 1. However, though I am thoroughly enjoying playing through titles such as Persona 5 and Nier Automata, phenomenal games, by the way, I am still looking for that one game that is almost what you could call a Zelda ripoff, and I don't mean that in a negative sense, but a game that is similar to Breath of the Wild and how previous Zelda games have played, mainly Ocarina and Majora's Mask. This is simply because I love Zelda games, but it's very difficult to find the £320 to invest into a Switch console. Also, I do feel kind of loyal to Sony for all it's done for me over the years.
Pounds are money in the UK. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, pounds of what?
Yeah. The closest thing I've come across thus far is Dragon Quest XI, but I do believe a Europe and release date has not been announced yet. Any suggestions for anything Zelda-like for PlayStation 4 that I can play now, or am I kind of screwed until I finally get a Switch? So he's missing something pretty obvious, right?
3D nice. Game Heroes?
Well, that was a PlayStation 3 game.
So good.
But yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn, right?
Isn't I mean, that was sort of the problem when Horizon launched at the same time as Breath of the Wild. I think that people got a little bit like jaded to it, to its charms. But I would say play Horizon now. They're very similar.
Horizon
to the scope.
Is an awesome game.
Yeah, and also, you know, sort of similar in like the RPG elements of like Dragon Age. Mm-hmm.
Are there Octoroks?
I mean, it's
maybe that'll
robot
be something
dinosaurs.
That, yeah.
It's similar in the sense that it's a third person, you know, action adventure game where you're sort of powering up and getting stronger as you go through. But man,
open world.
But it's very true that few games have that like really Zelda formula. Like for a franchise that's been going for 30 years and is beloved the world over, you know, other people have put their take on Mario and their take on Final Fantasy, but not that many companies have ever tried to do a take on
Beyond
a traditional Zelda game. Beyond Good and Evil was, you know, Alundra. There have been a few, but not very many.
Beyond Oasis.
I would also say look to the two rebooted Tomb Raider games. Really, really excellent.
I wanted to mention.
Nice mixture of action, adventure, puzzle solving.
They are both on PlayStation 4. Yeah, that's right. The first Tomb Raider got a definitive edition release on PS4, and then Rise of the Tomb Raider is also available.
I feel like a lot of people slept on Rise of the Tomb Raider just because of its, you know, release circumstances and the timing of it. And man, that game is really, really great. And I took some risks.
Yeah, I think both those games are really good.
I think if you had to choose personally, I think the first one's more Zelda-like.
I agree with that.
I really like that game a lot. And 2 was definitely more of that game.
Yeah. It's good prep for the Tomb Raider movie coming out.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I mean, yeah. Sorry. Alicia Vikander?
Vikander.
The Tomb Raider games are a little more linear. They're not really open world games. There's big open environments, but you kind of move through them linearly. And then you can go back and backtrack and like find secrets and stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like retro style games too on PS4. But
yeah. Like, how funny is it, like, even Metroidvania, like, we joke that every indie game is a Metroidvania game now, or a Metroid-like, as Sam would say, but why aren't more companies, like, why is there no one really doing more Zelda-likes? It just never really became a thing.
Yeah, that's, like, true. There's Oceanhorn. Is an Oceanhorn on PS4 now?
That may be a good call.
It was a mobile game.
The Wind Waker-like one?
That's Oceanhorn, I think.
Darksiders is a good suggestion.
Darksiders is another really good suggestion.
No, not Oceanhorn, the one we did the IGN first for. That looks like The Witness
Rime?
A little bit. Rime, yeah.
Rime might be good.
But it's not out yet, right?
It depends on what you like about Zelda, whether any of these games are listening or going to scratch that itch for you.
Yeah, that's true.
What about The Witness?
Not The Witness. That's not a Zelda life.
I would just
just play The Witness, though. Yeah,
that's true. I give it a blanket recommendation to everyone. Yep. Play The Witness. Game of the year.
Didn't click for me, but I'm also very stupid.
It's like that is such a fun game to play with other people. And my favorite thing about The Witness is like you bring it into your life. Like we had all this graph paper that we were cutting out into shapes and using it like puzzles to try and figure.
Those ones. I love that.
Yeah. To figure out how you can fit it all together. And and I love that game. Sorry, this is definitely far from the Zelda thing, but I love that like everyone looks at solving problems different ways.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So my boyfriend and I would be like stuck on a puzzle for days. And then our friend would come over and be like, oh, that's the solution. Yeah. I was like, I never would have thought of that. And so it's like a fun group experience. Yeah.
Here's why I think it's a Zelda-like.
Okay.
Is that it's an explorable open world.
That's true.
Yeah. It's on an island, which a lot of Zelda games are. But it's an explorable open world that doesn't tell you where to go. Doesn't tell you what to do, and there's secrets everywhere.
And
those are my two favorite things about Zelda games.
That's true.
So I think it's a Zelda-like. I don't think the sword play and stuff like that is as important in a Zelda game as this cool, living, explorable area.
And you do have to conquer each different area to do that.
Right. It's basically the Legend of Zelda.
I've been convinced.
I will also say that, Zelda games give you, like, you can't get there until you have a hookshot. Get the hookshot, and I can go over there. And The Witness doesn't actually do that. There's no doors that are literally closed to you, except that you need to go through a little area to understand what a symbol means or how to solve a certain
your hook shot is you learning the puzzles.
It's in your brain.
Yeah.
The Witness.
I think we did it, everybody. To come back to, but I'm fully convinced you're right. The Witness is a Zelda game. There you go.
I cannot wait until, 3 or 4 years from now where I've forgotten enough of The Witness and I can go back through it again and, have a fresh.
Except you're going to want to remember, like, one of those 600 puzzles. You're going to be like, what did I do here? Yeah.
You can come to the IGN then, Wikis page to help me
figure
it out.
Yeah, totally. You can. And then I'd recommend Skyrim and Fallout.
Skyrim, yeah. That's another good one, too. Fallout, I guess I can see that as well. In terms of, like you say, big open worlds to explore, lots of secrets, lots of stuff to find. It doesn't tell you where to go. Free to explore at your own pace. Sure, that's what I like about Zelda too. All right, let's share what we've been playing. As I was saying earlier, I've been trying to get through the Trials of the Sword in Breath of the Wild, and I've got a good run going on the middle trials right now that I feel pretty good about. We'll see if I can beat that tonight. But Sam, you've been playing Pikmin.
Hey, Pikmin. Yeah, on the new 2DS too, which is really light and nice. But I'll talk about this a lot more on MVC this week because we are going to do a big segment on it. But the short version for GameScoop listeners is that it's hard to play like Kid Icarus Uprising in that you have to use the stylus at all times. Mm. So no excuse. Have to use the stylus. Use your thumb or your finger if you need to. But then you have to also use a D-pad. So like the heaviness of the larger DSs. Mm. DS models are like, it's really hard to play. It hurts after a while. And so I was like, sitting on the bed and like putting it on a pillow or on my cat, or like whatever I could to like kind of take some of that off. So that kind of stinks. But other than that, it's missing some elements of Pikmin in terms of like that frantic real-time strategy management. Mm-hmm. And then it has the charm and it has the Pikmin varieties and like fighting and exploring for like a Game Boy cartridge or like a digital camera, like weird stuff you find, I like that. It has all that, but it doesn't have the, I'm going to send my Pikmin here to work on this dig project. Well, these guys are going to fight this, or I'll focus on the fight, like, and then these other ones are doing, carrying stuff back. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
And you're just constantly panning around, and you're doing all this stuff. This is just, like, one thing at a time. Fight this thing, take left or right passage, look for it. Like, it's very simplified.
You like it? Is it fun?
I think it's okay.
All right.
But I'm not reviewing it, so. The reviewer thinks.
Sarah, you said you recently beat Horizon?
I recently beat Horizon, and then I downloaded Firewatch, which I missed last year, but I haven't started it yet. I haven't started it yet.
Good summer game.
Yeah, I managed to avoid spoilers, and so I'm really excited to figure out what all the fuss is about.
Yeah.
But I did start playing Stardew Valley. I downloaded that as well, and I sank like 20 hours into it in one weekend. Nice. I think I'm going about making money and doing everything all wrong, but I don't care. I like figuring it out as I go, and like I haven't looked up any guides, and maybe I will eventually. I'm up to summer. Like I went through spring, and I'm up to summer, and I planted. I was like, I should plant a lot of crops now that I have money, and it was like the day before summer started and they all died.
That's so sad.
But I'm learning and so it's really fun.
You're like a real farm girl.
I'm like learning it just like my character. I like that I have a dog. Like the second that I was like, great, okay, well I love this
game. What do you name your dog?
BB, that's the name of my dog. Can you and pet she your looks dog? Just like it. In my head, I do.
You can't pet the dog?
I think you can.
I think, they get a little heart. You get the little heart.
I don't think it animates.
And every day I'm like, hi, BB.
Yeah.
Zelda's greatest flaw is you can't pet dogs.
Yeah, well,
it really is.
It's I actually just
Street 4.
Demoed Marvel Powers United VR at D23.
Oh, cool.
And it opens with Lockjaw is like how you are transported different ways. And you're in VR, right? And
he's
just
dog.
Out of, yeah, he is a dog. He's a teleporting, like, 2,000-pound dog. But he's just out of reach. And I, like, was interviewing the guys who made it. And I was like, guys, like, I know you've been working really hard on this. You just announced this game today. But I've discovered a fatal flaw, and it's that I can't pet Lockjaw. Yeah. And they were like, well, you can in later versions, like, play with, like, throw toys at him. Oh, yeah, and I was like, okay.
Like, Connectimals. Okay.
My other quick one that I'm still playing is Pokemon Go.
Oh, wow.
Me too.
Forever.
One of those.
Forever. Got those Ash Hat Pikachus this week. Did you play the Spider-Man VR experience? Anybody here play that?
No, I know you
did. I played that last week, too. Yeah. I mean, I don't have much to say about it, but, like, you just sit there and, like, you know, shoot web shooters from a rooftop, and you, like, knock down bottles and stuff. It's not a big deal. But it does put up a mirror, which is the best part of VR currently in any game.
Oh,
and then it's you as Spider-Man, and you can just dance. Best part of any VR game.
Yep, Batman as well.
Mm-hmm. Batman is the same thing.
Sam and I both saw Spider-Man over the weekend separately.
So good.
10 out of 10.
But we both liked it.
So good.
10 out of 10, perfect.
Perfect.
I wouldn't go that far, but I liked it a lot.
This is veering into movies talk, but it makes me sad that it had like the second biggest second weekend drop of any MCU movie.
Weird.
But it's only because it made so much money last week.
Everyone saw
it the first weekend, but there's sort of no reason to go back and watch it again. There aren't that many secrets in it. Like, it's just a fun, delightful Spider-Man experience, and I think people just like moved on after they saw it instead of something like Wonder Woman that they went back and actually had like a really great second weekend because even more people were coming back.
But it's still either already did or is about to outgross Amazing 1 and 2. Like, it's doing
it's
great.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's doing fine, but I was just like...
Sure, yeah.
Well, I hope that all those actors find more work. And
Poor Marvel.
Yeah.
They only made $201 million.
Like some money or something to help them through this tough time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be really hard for them in Infinity War.
I'm actually playing a video game. Which
all
is
right.
Scoop.
Scoop.
No, I dug out, actually physically had to find and dig out my 3DS to play Ever Oasis.
Because
I heard that it's a mix of Animal Crossing and Zelda. Like, you go into these dungeons and then you bring them back to you're building an oasis in the desert and opening shops and stuff, and that attracts other people. And then in the dungeons, they find materials that let you build.
So SimCity, and then you go fight stuff for your city.
Sort of, yeah.
Or not SimCity, more like Animal Crossing.
Perfect game to never stop playing ever.
I'm still pretty early into it, but it's really charming and interesting, and I totally like it a lot. And I also, this is true, I couldn't find my 3DS anywhere. I tore up my apartment looking for it, and I found it in this weird corner. Irrelevant. Anyway, it was in this weird part of my apartment.
Weird corner in your apartment?
And also, in that corner, I found my iPad that had been missing for months and months and months and months.
There you go.
And because we have a work iPad that I mostly use, but my personal one had a bunch of games on it, and so I charged that up too, and I've also rediscovered Clash Royale and how good that game is. So really well done, Supercell. I don't know. It's like a weird game to give a shout out to. It came out, everyone said, wow, like a mobile game that's actually really cool and good and compelling. Then I think people kind of forgot about it. But if you pick that game back up today, like it's still truly excellent. And I'm really surprised and impressed that, I don't know, that game's just had the legs and staying power.
I hear Ever Oasis has a really slow tutorial start.
It does take a long time.
It just tells you how to do everything, but it's a complicated game.
Yeah, it's that classic sort of, I don't know, JRPG feeling thing where, like, just let me get into the game.
I see a flap of paper.
Yep.
That can only be hiding 20 questions.
That must mean it is time to play a video game 20 questions. Our suggestion this week comes from John in Baltimore. So if that gives you any information.
So
it does not.
Uh-huh. John. He actually writes in to say, here he says, first of all, thanks for being the best games podcast online.
I am nervous. Can you say I'm
don't
like
be nervous. You know how 20 questions works, the game, right? You
win or you die.
You ask me yes or no questions to try to guess this mystery game.
Oh, okay.
And you guys will take turns asking the questions.
Okay.
He says, I really appreciate how platform agnostic you all are. Mm-hmm. You guys just love great games. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Secondly, thanks for reminding me about Blackthorn. That was last week's game. My brother and I loved that game when we were kids, and we were never able to finish it. After hearing it on 20 Questions last week, it inspired me to dig up my Super NES from the basement. And pop it in. After spending about an hour with it, I'm now committed to finishing it. It's got a great password system, so I don't have to finish it.
Can we borrow your copy to play?
Yeah, no kidding.
And so John from Baltimore has given us our 20 question suggestion this week. Let the questioning begin.
Is it harder than last week's?
That's not a real question. Does your character speak?
No.
Is this game from before the year 2080?
Yes.
Is it a Nintendo game?
What do you mean by a Nintendo game? Like, did Nintendo make this
game?
Is
it like on a Nintendo platform?
Yes.
Did this game come out before January 1st, 1990?
Yes.
80s game.
Yeah, has to be Game Boy. No, well, it can't really be. Yeah, Game Boy or... Is it on NES?
Yes.
Okay. Did Nintendo make it?
No.
Okay, was this game developed in Japan?
Yes.
Is it a licensed game?
No.
Good question, though. Wait, so hold on. We're rapid fire here. Let's recap. NES game, not made by Nintendo, made in Japan, but not licensed.
An early NES game. It's not from the late period.
Right, because it's an 80s game.
So it can't be Kid Clown, for instance.
Or, well, this is all a Nintendo game, but it can't be like Yoshi's Cookie or something weird like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Did you ask a gun shooting question?
No.
Do you shoot a gun in this game?
Sure do.
Okay, it's probably Contra.
Is it a part of a franchise where games are still being released today?
Unfortunately not. That's 10.
Well, see, now that's tricky because, like, what would be, like, would you call Contra a dead franchise? I kind of would. What was the last one? The DS one?
There was just that hardcore game for XBLA.
Hardcore is like 6 years ago now.
So do we get
is this a Konami
questions?
Game?
Yeah, no. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're at the halfway point.
It was only 10.
Is this a Konami game?
You look very nervous.
I'm very nervous. I can come up with questions, but I'm not going to be able to figure out what this game is.
No, you'll get it.
Yeah, is it a Konami game?
No.
Ooh.
All right.
Aw, dang. Wait. Like a Gradius or R-Type or something like that.
Those are all Konami games.
Yeah,
not R-Type. No, you're on the right. Shooter. You said you shoot a gun.
Yeah.
On a spaceship.
Okay. Do you control a human being?
Yes.
All right. You just shoot a bunch of stuff in this game, and so Japanese companies. You got Capcom, Konami were the big ones.
Yeah. IRIM, but it's not R-Type, so it's not IRIM. But
yeah. Metal Storm's that too. Is this a Capcom game?
No.
It could be like, well, Metal Gear is Konami too.
Yeah, I know that. Those are the two biggies, and Nintendo. So not any of those. And unfortunately, it's not around today. Series is so much, but this should be pretty easy for us.
Feeling confident.
I'm not confident.
Seven questions to go.
That is a lot of questions to go. We honed in on it pretty quickly. Is
you
this
don't talk.
A what?
You don't talk.
You don't talk.
Now, would you count Ultra as part of Konami because it's just a fake Konami label?
I don't know if I would have. Yeah, it's part of Konami. Yes.
Okay.
Not an Ultra game.
Yeah.
Question out of that.
Is this a sci-fi themed game?
No.
So you have your. And it's not. Capcom, so it can't be.
It is.
We already had.
We don't know. It's not Capcom. We know it's
not
Konami.
Asked.
You did.
No,
ask
we
Capcom.
Asked. We asked about.
It's not Capcom or Konami.
Yeah.
Oh dang.
I know.
And it's not based on a license. So.
Wow, but it's obviously a game that Damon has some affection.
It's
for.
Not based on sci-fi. So you have games like of the Rambo genre.
Yeah, but not Rambo, because that's licensed, and also not any of the Space Invaders. But you play as a human. You play as a person.
Yeah. We asked that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, because I wanted to narrow down all the ship games. Yeah, you play as a human being.
Mm-hmm. So we have Taito Games and Sunsoft. Those are two other companies.
Yeah, but Taito, like, you know, Space Invaders, but we know it's not that.
I'm dead weight right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
I'm
really
sorry.
I'm almost there. Like, this is, we're deep in Claiborne territory right now.
Sunsoft.
Let's throw out another question.
All right. Is this a side-scrolling game?
No.
Good question. Top-down?
Not a side-scrolling game. That's 15.
So that leaves us with top-down or like a Robotron, like a room-to-room game, mm-hmm. like a Smash TV. But we not, it's not Robotan because it's not sci-fi themed, but something like that. American. What was the Western Robotron style game?
Gunsmoke. Well, there's a game called Gunsmoke, but that was by Capcom.
Mm.
That would have been a really good answer. Is this an arcade port?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
All right. This is you.
Yeah. Four questions left.
It's probably a top down human shooting arcade port.
What's the it was just on the show 3 or 4 weeks ago, but the one where it's vertically scrolling.
Well, that was Commando.
Commando. Right. Is there
I'm just thinking of a game like that.
Are there other games like that?
It's not yeah. Well,
there's one I always played in my orthodontist office.
The thing is, they're all Capcom.
Yeah, they are all Capcom games.
This one. No. It's probably one that I'm not gonna think of because I know the system very well.
Made in Japan. Ported to the NES.
Okay, there's games like Alien Syndrome, which were Tengen ports, but they were made in Japan.
Not side-scrolling trips.
That was in the arcade.
That eliminates the one that had the triple wide screen.
But that wasn't just an NES game. And this is something like, we didn't ever ask if it was on other systems, right?
Well, but it's an arcade game that got ported to the NES. We know that.
Was this a licensed cartridge?
Like officially licensed?
Yeah. Because like Tengen games aren't.
Yes, it was.
We're in trouble here. We're in trouble, Sam.
Well, that eliminated three questions. The one I just thought it was going to be.
We know it's not sci-fi themed, mm-hmm. which is I'm still picturing a lot of sci-fi games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking just like Western or just like stupid like top-down. Well, we don't actually know if it's top-down, right?
Yeah,
we
do
ask
not.
That question?
It just puts us so close to the... Yeah, is it top-down?
Yes.
Okay. I just
don't know what... You know it's not side-scrolling, so what else would it have been?
Like behind the shoulders, like Contra style. Second level. Oh.
No, I mean, I
The Punisher's like that. Bay Billy has some levels like that.
Get off my back, Dan!
Yeah. It's tough to burn all these questions on this because it's a hard one. Sunsoft made some weird games like Journey to Silius and
now we're veering dangerously close to Jared Petty territory.
Okay, did it have a sequel?
Yes. That is 19.
So it sounds like Ikari Warriors.
Wasn't that the one on the show? What's okay. Yeah, that's a great guess.
Is it Ikari Warriors?
Yes.
Oh!
Yeah, cool. Man, yeah, we said Rambo games a long time ago, and that's like the Rambo game.
Yeah.
All credit to Sam.
I just know that there's 1, 2, and 3 for Ikari Warriors, so I was confused about the series continuing. And
that was just as stressful as I thought it would be. And thanks for being okay with me not asking any questions.
Oh, you nailed the Nintendo question early on.
Very good.
We definitely would have got that.
Yeah, Ikari Warriors.
Woo.
You know that
good
one, right?
Good work.
I mean, I'm aware of it. It's not
Who
a
made
game
it?
I had any
SNK
fondness for.
You said 80s games, and I was like, well.
Yeah.
I loved that game.
Yeah.
I had it on NES.
And then 2 and 3 are exactly like 1.
Well, except they get more into sci-fi. You start fighting aliens instead of just soldiers.
So I know that, Damon,
aliens all
I
long.
Know that you love Ikari Warriors.
Yes.
When you used to pick the 20 questions games,
yeah.
like I could exploit
yeah.
my friendship with you to zero in on things faster. And then once it started becoming Reader's Choice, then it's like it got a lot harder for me.
Did we have Ikari on?
We had it on
that's what I, yeah.
GameScope.
GameScope.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so that would do the box art.
I wonder if anybody got it, though.
I don't know that I've ever played it, actually.
It's a really fun game.
Yeah, I know it's got a great rep. And
yeah, it's just like your two guns are kind of out like this. And
yeah,
right?
yeah,
it's
very silly.
Well, no, I guess you have that and then you go.
Well, it's one of those arcade games that had the rotating stick.
Yep.
So you can
so
aim in one direction and walk like strafe, basically. It was really fun. A good one.
I'm so glad you got it. That was very impressive.
We all got it.
Yes.
Eamon is the one that lost.
Yeah.
And this guy from Baltimore.
Yeah, John. thank you for the suggestion, though, John. And that is all the scoops we have for you this week. I'm so glad Terry could join us today.
Thank you so much for having me. That this was so much fun.
Yeah, that was very good. And then I look forward to lots of more hanging out in San Diego this week. Actually, 3/4 of us are all going to be in San Diego this week.
Ooh.
Sam is going to have to stay home.
No, that's cool. I'm going to be the home team. I'm going to watch the IGN show every night.
Yeah, you are. And IGN live on Twitter.
Yep.
From...
Comic-Con.
Let's see if I can remember. 8 to 9 on Wednesday.
Okay.
3 to 7 on Thursday.
That sounds right.
This is all Pacific time.
Yeah.
3 to 7 on Friday, and then 12 to 3 and 5:30 to 8:30 on Saturday.
Do you have a spreadsheet like in your brain?
I have looked at our scheduling doc so much. I'm so excited about this, though. This is huge. It was like when we were live on Twitter and across all our platforms for this Twitter partnership. Yeah, for E3.
If you sign on to Twitter on your phone, not sign on, but if you open the app, then it's right at the top.
You'll
it's
see like that face and this face talking to famous faces.
Talking to Harrison Ford.
Ryan Gosling.
You guys got Harrison?
Together. Yeah.
We're on a first name basis now that we got
him. You're tight.
Yeah. You got Harry.
You're tight.
Harry.
Yeah. Whoa.
Hank.
He's not allowed to pull out morning of or 50 minutes before because we have said it on Game Scoop and
it must
happen. Yeah. He watches this, obviously.
Is he going to fly to the appointment?
Probably. Yeah, he's going to crash land.
Don't let him do that.
He's going to crash land in our studio.
I'm going to play a video game 20 questions with him.
Yeah, can you just do that with the cast of Blade Runner?
Yeah.
Because Damon has to interview like 7 people at once because they will not split up the cast.
Totally
so I would love
20 questions.
If you're like, but like it needs to be an Atari title, right? And like that's you just use your 20 minutes with them to do that.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
All right. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Terry. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. If they caught this
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
Save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.